Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Niler 9 podcast. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about AI and the generation of fake songs that sound like real musicians, except they are all fake AI rappers. This is your host, Drake. I'm joined by Andrea Cleary. How you doing?
Hi. Good.
AI and fake voices are happening at an alarming rate, and we need to stop it, or I will be very upset and make a mixtape and call it "You Already Lost." It's not fair. Let's dive in.
Hello and welcome to the Niler 9 podcast. It is the real host, Niler 9, Niall Byrne, and co-host, Andrea Cleary. In the flesh, real people, right here, ready to talk. Not generated by any AI or anything like that, because that is what we're talking about today.
Mammals.
That is what we want to talk about. There's so much to discuss, isn't there?
There's a lot to discuss. We first talked about this like a few years ago as a kind of a, I should have looked up what episode it was, but it was like, it was a news story, something to do with Grimes and AI. And we were so dismissive. Like, I remember our mindset at the time just being like, oh, AI, Grimes, what's she at? This is like even pre-Elon or just before Elon, and very dismissive of it. But now it's at the stage where we obviously have to take this seriously, as people in the music industry. So that's what we're going to try and do today.
Yeah. Like I said to you 2 weeks ago, oh, we should do an episode about AI soon. And then since then, so many things have happened. And it's like, okay, we have to do it now because it's just happening. It's the thing that's happening at the moment. So what we're going to do is really explain what's going on. If you haven't been paying attention, talk about some of the issues that are happening, talk about some of the things that have happened that have moved the story on in terms of AI, and particularly in music. Obviously, a lot of people will know about Midjourney and the image creation and generation tools that are using AI to generate like images and video. We're going to stay away from that because that's a whole other thing that probably comes into music as well. I've actually even seen, I'm sure you have as well, like Little Yachty's album from earlier this year had an AI-generated image, and already it looks dated because that was January and we're in April, and this is the AI generation for images has really gone stratospheric in terms of its quality, and we're really only getting started in terms of music, but there are lots of things to discuss in it. What we want to get into is what is happening with AI and music at the moment, and some examples of that. But before we do, I just want to have a brief drop-in from a Patreon supporter, one of our big Patreon supporters. He's been very, just been really good to us lately. And I just want to say a big shout out. So here's our one of our Patreon supporters to tell you why you should join up.
Hello there. So Paul McCartney here. On behalf of the Nyla 9 podcast, I want to tell you about the benefits of a Nyla 9 Patreon subscription. Sign up from a fiver a month and know you are one of the sounders keeping Nyla 9 in good stead. You'll receive access to the Nyla 9 Discord community, get weekly playlists, recordings, discounted tickets, freebies and more. Support Nyla 9 on Patreon at patreon.com/Nyla9. Keep on rocking.
Keep on rocking, Paul. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Paul.
That's our pal, Paul. Of course, of course, of course. All right, look. Hold my hands up. That wasn't the real...
Him and I are in a relationship. We're very happy together.
No, I've been playing this week with a bit of the AI tools. There was a tool called Drake.it that would write a rap for you and the lyrics in the style of Drake and create a song. It's already been shut down. That doesn't exist anymore because obvious reasons. But I used a site called 11 Labs to basically upload a voice and write and get Paul McCartney to say whatever I wanted to say. And same with Drake at the start of the episode. I was very impressed with the quality of that one in particular. That seems to be quite good. It handles language and differentiations quite well. What it doesn't handle is Irish voices, because we tried to create you and me based off reference audio from the podcast, and we all came out American, didn't we?
Like extremely American, yeah. But it had the kind of the timbre of our voices.
Will I play the one I create for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Your one is better than my one. My one, I just sound like some rambler.
I agree.
Hello and welcome to the Nyla 9 podcast. I'm Andrea Cleary. Niall is away at the moment, so I thought I'd do a special episode all about my love for Pedro Pascal. How great is that man? Love you, Pedro. Okay, let's start with Pedro Pascal's top 5 mustache looks.
So it's you with an American voice, basically.
But listen,
it does take that reference audio that I uploaded, and it has some of your timbre in there, some of your tone.
And how much audio did you give it of my voice for it to get? Obviously the accent is wrong, but I think you can hear that is close
2 minutes,
to my voice.
Five minutes in total.
Really? Yeah. That's all?
Yeah. Just 2 minutes of you talking on from last week's episode about Frank Ocean. That was it.
So when you take somebody like Paul McCartney or Drake or somebody whose voice is like, there's probably of Paul, like hundreds of thousands of hours of examples of him speaking, you can really, because in the Paul one, what I find so interesting is that not only does it sound exactly like Paul McCartney, it sounds like Paul McCartney at a certain age. Like,
yeah, well, it's a very recent one. So it's basically an interview on YouTube that I took. Now, what I probably should have done is taken a few different samples and put them all together and then let the AI generate a more accurate depiction of his voice.
But it's so accurate as it is. It's like that sound, that's what he sounds like now. It's incredible.
Options you get in terms of doing the voice stuff is you get like more stability, more variability, clarity and enhancement. So you can kind of play around with those things a bit and you can just do it for hours. And I found the first time I did the Paul McCartney one, he sounded a bit bored, really. So you were able to move it to make him sound a bit more exciting.
You sent me one of him the other day and he sounded a bit southern. He sounded a bit less northern. Which I thought was interesting, but anyway, that's not music. What about music?
No, that's just an example of how easy it is to take somebody else's voice and musicians' voices and really do something with it, create content out of it. So, I mean, let's start with last year. Let's rewind back to last year, 2022. So the first thing we can look at is, maybe you may remember, there was a AI powered rapper who was signed to Capitol Records called FN Mecca. And he was the creation of Anthony Martini and Brandon Lee. And they had they had some songs, but they also had some video stuff and things on TikTok that made it look like this was a real kind of, obviously it wasn't real because it was very much like in the way that Gorillaz is kind of stylized. This was a stylistic video with like clearly 3D CGI generated like visuals to go with the tracks. But in the very first cautionary tale of AI and music, just a week after Capital signed FN Mecca, because he was getting so many listens and views on TikTok and stuff, he was dropped because of racial stereotyping. Some of the the accounts were posting things that were being questioned by artists like Danny Brown, and questioning in terms of how two white men can use the N-word, even though it's for a black-generated rapper. So it just led to all of these issues.
Like, the first instance of this, we're already getting into thorny issues of who can say what.
And there was a video showing the virtual artist on TikTok being beaten by the police, you know, so it's like, it was already getting into that area where you're like, okay, who owns narratives around race and the struggles of a community? Well, certainly not these guys. So very wisely.
And he's benefiting from it. And
Well, they said he was actually voiced by a black man. I think Capital decided, okay, this is too hot. We have to get away from it. So they apologized for signing him. And said they had not asked enough questions before making the deal. They were excited. And this is the problem with AI at the moment, I think.
But it's also impossible for Capital to know what questions to even ask in that situation. Like, you literally sit down with someone, they're like, here's some tracks, we can streamline it. It's going to be super cheap for you to sign us and to distribute our work because there's no artist. So there's no overheads on that side of things. And Capital are like, okay. Like, yeah, absolutely. This seems like a license to print money, which it does. But yeah, they just, man.
So, I mean, that was the first cautionary tale. Since then, we've had the thing AI and the generative technology that uses AI. And what is AI? AI is artificial intelligence. It takes sources in terms of the imagery and the voice stuff. As I said there with our examples, it takes another reference and makes something out of it. For the larger models of AI, it takes a huge data set of music or images or whatever it is and creates an example based off that. So the more content you put into it in AI, a model, the more it will generate. So say, for example, the issue that a lot of people are going to have, and this is about copyright, it comes down to a lot of copyright stuff and ownership, who owns what. You post something on the internet, a picture that you drew, some AI model grabs it and puts it into its data set, then you no longer own that, and that could be used as a reference for somebody else's work, and you will not be able to check where that came from. With something like what we're doing next here, which is David Guetta, who last year was one of the first people to use AI software to add Eminem to one of his tracks. He did this for one of his shows, and here's a bit of David Guetta talking about that.
This is the future rave sound. I'm getting lost in an underground. This is the future rave sound. I'm getting lost in an underground.
Eminem, bro. There's something that I made as a joke and it works so good, I could not believe it. I discovered those websites that are about AI. Basically, you can write lyrics in the style of any artist you like. So I typed, write a verse in the style of Eminem about future rave. And I went to another AI website that can recreate the voice. I put the text in that and I played the record and people went nuts.
Okay, so that's what Dave Guetta did. Obviously, he was acknowledging that this was something that was only a joke and he wasn't doing it for real, but he did play it. So in China, AI generated music is something that actually has already surpassed, one artist has already passed 100 million streams last year on a track that was created by Tencent. And is Tencent, is that not who own TikTok? Tencent and ByteDance own TikTok. So creating it at their own music, and one of those songs that they created last year has generated a lot of streams. So that was something that happened already last year. So these are the things that were happening last year. And in China, they were looking to create stars based off this. And I think fast forward 2023 and all this stuff starts happening. It's the year of ChatGPT. Everyone's having a laugh, filling in, you know, getting the ChatGPT to write stuff for them. All the questionable things about students maybe possibly using this to write essays for college and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, they're definitely doing it.
Yeah. And, you know, other people are using it to write articles as well. So, I mean, that happens.
Yeah.
That's a real thing. So, in terms of music, though, there was a reason we wanted to do this episode. And it's the main reason is because a track which was generated with use AI to generate a Drake and The Weeknd song went viral a couple of weeks ago. The song is called Heart on My Sleeve, and it amassed over 250,000. So, yeah, 250,000 Spotify streams and 10 million views on TikTok. Mm. But of course, the Drake and The Weeknd had nothing to do with it. It was an artist by the name of Ghost Rider who had generated the song using AI. But the fact that it went up on Spotify and was being used and going really spreading virally on TikTok meant the copyright owners started to get interested in this and wanted to stop it, because it's one thing for Drake and The Weeknd to be like, oh, somebody made a song that sounds like us. But for when it actually starts to do well, then you'll start to feel trend, you know?
Yeah, this person could have made like $2-3 on Spotify from all those streams, you know? Easily. We have to put a stop to that.
Yeah, but it is one of those things. It's like suddenly you are creating the likeness of famous stars and you are profiting and benefiting from it. Mm. A bit like the stuff
that
was happening.
This is an idea I want to come back to later when we enter the philosophical portion of this conversation.
Okay, great. It's something that we discussed in our Discord actually recently with the Frank Ocean stuff, because Frank Ocean songs, fake Frank Ocean songs, were appearing on Spotify under...
Someone has to do it.
Under his account. Yeah, well, I mean...
He's not doing it.
Yeah. Spoiler, if you listened to last week's episode, he did indeed cancel Weeknd 2. Huh?
I don't have to eat my hat. I'm very relieved.
I did drop in and say that during the episode. But still, yeah, I'm glad to see they used the ice rink all the same. Really good. Yeah. Happy with that. I know. We'll be back to this track, Heart on My Sleeve. Should we hear a bit of it? Just
yeah.
I came in with my ex like Selena, the flex, bumping Justin Bieber, a fever and left, she know what she need, all I need, all she blessed, giving me my best,
So that's Heart on My Sleeve. That's the song in question that everyone is popping off from. It appears that the main reason actually currently that the Universal were able to stop this song being used and appearing on Spotify was because of that tag, that producer tag at the start by Metro Boomin. That is apparently fully copyrighted by the label, which is a vocal snippet from the rapper Future saying that, Metro Boomin on the beat. That's a sample of a master recording that was not cleared for use. Therefore, it allowed Universal to say they are using our copyrighted material, even though they can't totally say right now that the raps using the likeness of The Weeknd and Drake are copyright infringing at the moment. They actually put out a statement this week, which was interesting. The company spoke to the broader stakes of this whole idea. We said, which side of history all stakeholders in the music ecosystem want to be on? The side of the artists, fans, and human creative expression, or the side of the deep fakes, fraud, and denying artists their due compensation? So that's what it comes down to.
Look, I mean, the music industry has been denying artists their compensation for a decade or so now. I think the ship has sailed. But what I find so interesting about that, the reason that being pulled is because of uncleared sampling, even if the sample is being manipulated, like surely there's an argument that, or there's some way of seeing, or in the future there will be some way of seeing what material is being fed to whatever machine it is that's spitting out this stuff. And if you can identify that it is in fact copyrighted material from Drake or from The Weeknd or from whoever it is, that then that copyright is covered. Like that's the only way I can see of getting around this is copywriting the is treating the AI product as a sample, even though it's a sample of tens of thousands of different pieces. You can still, if you dig down far enough into whatever algorithmic magic is happening, you'll still be able to see whatever source is being kind of input into the machine.
But you know what you need for that, right? You know what you need for that.
AI?
You need an AI-generated neural network in order to find the sample source somehow, because it's all generated and put together.
It's almost like we shouldn't be doing any of this.
Yeah, it almost is. I mean, that's...
But like, isn't it fucking... But what I was also thinking is, like, on the other side of things, because I do think that Drake's likeness... You know, putting out a song and claiming that you're Drake, like that shouldn't be allowed. That should be 100% copyright infringement gone. But if you hired a Drake soundalike and you studied, if you, a human, studied Drake's music and wrote lyrics that were a bit like, that were inspired by or were a bit like Drake songs in the style of Drake, and you got a Drake soundalike to rap them, then you wouldn't fall under copyright infringement at all. So it's interesting that because it's machines doing it, then we have this like gray area, because we've been fine with impersonators for decades.
It depends on the artist really and the copyright holder, because a human passing off a song as somebody else, somebody like Weird Al Yankovic as well. So covered under the parody idea that something is a parody, so it's not copyright infringement. But Tom Waits and Bette Midler have both successfully argued in court that they had the right not just to their musical compositions or recordings, but also their voices in the face of sound-alike imitators in advertisements, which is, you know, something we've heard recently here with Ronnie Drew electricity ad, isn't it? The Ronnie Drew gas ad. The bird that sounds like Ronnie Drew. I don't think that's his son, as far as I'm aware. So, you know, there are issues there, and that applies with copyright law. Universal Music has actually taken steps to prevent the proliferation of AI-generated music that rips off its recording artists by asking streaming services like Spotify to prevent AI companies from using music to train their models. And obviously there's a wider thing happening here, which is already happening, which is the amount of fake songs appearing on Spotify being automatically generated by, whether it's AI or whether it's just people on their own creating songs and uploading them and putting fake tags and fake artists on it. That is a huge problem with Spotify at the moment anyway. So it all feeds into this, and it basically adds up to the fact that we're looking at millions and millions of songs appearing on Spotify and streaming services, and just most of them never being listened to, most of them clogging up the mainframe of what people want to do, and also creating a lot of electricity and energy in order to do.
Yeah. Extremely wasteful.
So that is one issue. I mean, that's not something that a lot of people talk about, but it is something that is worth considering, you know, down the line. The more volume of this stuff that is generated, the more likely that it creates a waste of electricity, a waste of energy in the world as well. Yeah, I mean, this already happened with, like, Roc Nation had submitted copyright strikes against YouTube up of AI-generated Jay-Z deepfakes in 2020, but YouTube ended up reinstating the videos. And same thing has happened to Eminem as well. And, you know, here's an example of something that in our travels that I heard. Here's a couple of rappers doing songs that popularized or made by other artists.
I gotta testify, come up in the spot looking extra fly. For the day I die, I'ma touch the sky. Cause day and night, and the lonely loner seems to free his mind at night, night. He's all alone through the day and night, the lonely loner seems to free his mind at night.
So that was Kendrick Lamar doing Kanye, and then Kanye doing Kid Cudi on Day and Night. There's also this track, which I sent you earlier on, which is features Biggie and Tupac doing N-Word in Paris by Jay-Z and Kanye as well.
So hard, my pockets wanna find me. First niggas got fined. What's 50 grand to a motherfucker like me? Can you please remind me? Fall so hard, this shit crazy. Y'all don't know that don't shit phase. And as we go, I'm 82 when I look at you like this shit crazy. Fall so hard, this shit weird. We ain't even broke the year. Fall so hard since we air. It's only right that we be fed. Psycho, I'm live on the go, Michael. Dick pic, Jackson, Tyson, Jordan. Game 6, fall so hard, got a broke clock. Rollies the dope tick tock. All the Mars, that's losing time. Getting behind on these big rocks. Fall so, so hard, I'm shot too. I'm supposed to be locked up too. You escape, but I escape. You being passed and fucked up too. Fall so hard, let's get faded. Live with each for like 6 days. Glow bottles, soul models. Spilling ace on my sick days. Fall so hard, bitch, behave. Just might let you meet gay. Shot towns, B-Rolls, moving the nets, BK. Fall so hard, my pups wanna find me.
That's a threat. That's a threat. That's a crack.
Fall so hard, my pups wanna find me.
That's a threat. That's a threat. That's a crack. To say it, then you need to lay me at the mall. I say it, look, you need to crawl for your bar. Come and meet me in the bathroom style. And show me why you deserve to have it all.
Fall so hard.
That's a crack. That's a crack. Pain in jail.
Fall so hard.
What she order? What she order? Fish fillet.
Fall so hard.
Yo, it's so cold. It's so cold. It's so dang.
Fall so hard.
Like you ever be around motherfuckers like this is gay. Easy girl, grab her hand. Fuck that bitch, yeah, I wanna dance. She's my prince when I'm in France. I'm just saying, Chris Williams ain't doing right if you ask me.
Okay, that is Biggie and Tupac doing their version. I mean, it's AI generated, of course, two artists who are very much not alive anymore. And the second time that Tupac's legacy has been ruined by someone else after the creation of the avatar, or whatever you want to call it, the hologram thing. Yeah. Of course. Here's another thing. I went to the ABBA show last year, and I thought that was amazing. But those people are alive, and they're giving.
They're not dead. They're not dead. They signed off on it,
and it's their own. It's not generated stuffy as well as the original vocals. So
it's.
I'm okay with that.
That's fine. That's absolutely fine.
Yes.
Yeah, I think artists using this with their own stuff. I mean, if it came out that Ed Sheeran's been doing this for the past 3 years, it wouldn't shock anyone, I don't think, in terms of like writing music. But like, yeah, I feel like if you're alive, it's probably fine. But this is a similar moral panic. And I don't mean that in a disparaging way. I mean like actual moral panic, as when those holograms first started coming out. And we'd never truly reckoned with the idea then. We never, as a society, landed on whether or not they're okay, which I don't think they are. Yeah, and many of us are not. But I think that that's just kind of paved the way for this. Like, no, we haven't had to deal with that. Like,
I think the to get that to a stage and get that to market, it requires much more money and people saying yes in order to get to that point. And I think people are much more wary of that now these days. Now, one person who's been using AI in her work for years is Holly Herndon. And she was asked in that New York Times piece about The Weeknd and Drake's song, Fake Song, what she felt about it. She said, "Question is, as a society, do we care what Drake really feels, or is it just enough to hear a superficially intelligent rendering? For some people, that will not be enough. However, when you consider that most people listening to Spotify are doing so, just have something pleasant to listen to, it complicates things." Now, Holly Herndon is a major proponent of AI, actually. She's been using it for a long, long time. She's been using it in her art for a long, long time. She had an album in 2019 called Proto, which used what she called an AI baby called Spawn. So for the album, she assembled an ensemble of vocalists, developers, and basically got together, created a lot of vocal samples and stuff like that, and created a data set in order which they would create their AI voice, their AI baby called Spawn. And so they would feed vocals in and ask it to respond. So it was kind of looking at and that was 2019. So that was like very early on, probably quite primitive really now compared to what's possible. Here's a song called Frontier by Holly Herndon from that album.
La, 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 la.
So other people might recognize that as the theme song, actually, for Holly Herndon's Interdependence podcast that she does with Matt Dryhurst. And she's been talking about technology and music in a long form podcast for a number of years now, and is really one of the main kind of voices that is talking and using this stuff. And she's created videos, music videos and stuff using it. And for her, I think a lot of the point in some of that music is to kind of play with the gray area of what is actually happening there. Is it an AI voice? Is it a real voice? Which one are you hearing? It's not quite clear. And that's kind of the point. So that's Proto is the name of the album. And I mean, there are 16 human voices on it, 17 human voices and one AI voice in there somewhere. So yeah, interesting thing. Holly says, there's a pervasive narrative of technology as dehumanizing. We stand in contrast to that. It's not like we want to run away. We're very much running towards it, but on our terms. Choosing to work with an ensemble of humans is part of our protocol. I don't want to live in a world in which humans are automated off stage. I want an AI to be raised on and appreciate and interact with that beauty. So there you go.
I think that's a very hopeful way.
I mean, but that's kind of like, it's a bit more from the academic sphere of things in terms of like her and herself, Holly Herndon and Matt Dryhurst, who do the Independence podcast, actually founded a thing called Spawning AI. And one of their projects is called Have I Been Trained, which allows users to search for their artwork and see if it's been incorporated into an AI training without their consent. So there you go. That actually can happen. And spawning.ai is where you'll find out AI tools for artists made by artists. So you can have a look at that. If you don't like what's happening in AI elsewhere, there are some loads of tools out there. And there's, and their podcast, I have to say, Interdependence, is a great source for all that kind of stuff. Right. What else happened in the last week was there was a track, well, there was an album with the pleasingly titled AISIS. Which was a fake Oasis album. So this is essentially what the band say about this fake album. Oasis is an alternative reality concept album where the band, where the Oasis, the band's 1995 to 97 lineup, continued to write music, or perhaps all got together years later to write a record akin to the first three albums, and only now has the Mahler DAT tape from that session surfaced. They said, we're bored of waiting for Oasis to perform, so we got an AI modeled Liam Gallagher to step in and help out on some tunes that were written during lockdown 2021. The band, the songs that you hear here, the actual music itself is by a band called Breezer. And so the actual music is correct.
The music is written by humans. It's just the voices and the lyrics are written by humans as well.
Yeah, but no, the vocal was sung by the singer of the band, who is Chris Woodgates, I believe. And well, then they used the AI generative model to turn it into Liam Gallagher. Here is what. So yeah, that is Oasis, the band. Actually, the singer's name is...
I like that.
It sounds exactly like the first album, that's why.
Great.
Bobby Geraghty, the singer of Breezer and the original singer of the song, says, all we have now is Liam and his brother trying to outdo each other, but that isn't Oasis. So we got the AI-modeled Liam to step in on some tunes that were originally written for a short-lived but much-loved band called Breezer. Here's the thing. This album is apparently going on Spotify this Friday, according to the band. And I am interested to see, even though Liam Gallagher said, I sound mega about this last week, whether the label will be happy enough to leave that there. I feel like it's not going to last.
Or so, Noel or anyone else who was in Oasis.
True, like, true.
It's not just Liam. Like it's that sounds like the band Oasis. It doesn't just sound like Liam, you know?
It doesn't, yeah.
And like... I guess what's interesting about like the stuff we're talking about now, the Tupac and the Weeknd and Drake and Oasis and stuff, is that whenever, and much like NFTs, when we were talking about that as well, which is like the last kind of big tech thing we were discussing on the podcast, is that like we've learned about ourselves now that when confronted with anything to do with like great technological change or things that could change our society, we make memes out of it.
Yeah.
And I think the memification of this stuff is interesting and is kind of, I guess, a little bit worrying, because if it's all a bit of fun and then over here there's people being like, no, we actually need to take this seriously, and not just from like a copyright or, you know, monetary standpoint, but from like a what is art standpoint, what counts as art and things like that, like a kind of a more philosophical standpoint, then they're just going to be seen as like killjoys and like, oh, just enjoy the Oasis song. Like, and I enjoy the Oasis song, but it doesn't rid me of the sort of like existential worry about the future of art that this is also doing to me. Do you know what I mean?
If you think about all the novelty things that have happened in the past, a lot of them don't stand the test of time. Even things that have launched artists' careers, like the Grey Album, say, for Dormouse, the actual art itself didn't last the test of time. NFTs as well. Yeah, I don't know. I looked at something about NFTs last week. Apparently, the whole thing tanked out.
They're still happening. It won't be the last we see of that kind of model, though. But I mean, no. I guess with this stuff, with the AI music stuff, the only really comparable thing we have in history is when sampling was happening.
Yeah.
And like that's the only thing we really have to compare it to. And obviously we've come out the other side understanding that to sample something is to kind of, you know, like to toe the line between like fair use, but that it is an artistic endeavor. And I think that the agreement that we have that sampling is an artistic endeavor is based on the idea that it is a human being doing it. Mm. When you take the human aspect out of it, I just wonder where this conversation's going to go. Because can machines create art is so much such a larger question than my little monkey brain is able to like really actually sit down and think about. Like, I don't know if I believe that machines can, like, I've seen visual art that's been created by machines, and like, have I seen visual art that has like moved me in a way that felt like art was happening to me? Yes. But is part of that because I'm also kind of like marveling at technology and things like that. And like, what do those things mean? What do those questions mean? What does it mean to draw the line at humans? Are these machines an extension of us as human creators? And like, just all of that is that, like, they're hugely, hugely massive, massive questions. Mm-hmm. And I love a meme, but also like, it's like, we can't just be like, oh, it's funny because Kanye West is singing Hey There, Delilah or whatever. Because it's like, well, what does it mean?
Yeah.
Do you know? Yeah. It's very typical of me to just like become very anxious about it. But like, it's happening, you know?
It is happening.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm sure you feel the same. Like,
well, yeah, I think it's just like, I I like art created by people because the human experience is what gives music the life. If
yeah,
just like noise, really, and it can be fun noise, and it can be interesting and poppy and, you know, melodic and hook filled, but it could also be really annoying and lacking that human touch that, you know, maybe in a couple of years, that kind of stuff won't be that obvious. That kind of stuff won't be there anymore. You won't be like, oh, this is clearly AI generated. And it feels like that. And that's the issue I have, actually, is where, you know, look, okay, so here we go. Do you remember a couple of years ago, Grimes said something about, so it's something controversial on a podcast. Can't remember what it was exactly, but it was something about AI. And I was trying to find something that we actually talked about at the time. Can't actually remember, because when you Google Grimes and AI right now, the only thing that's coming up is
there's another
this week.
Same thing happened to me earlier before we started recording. I tried to find what that news story was, and I was like, oh no, obviously Grimes is wading in. Like,
yeah, she said she'll split 50% royalties on any successful AI generated song that uses her voice. Same deal as I would any artist I collab with. Feel free to use my voice without penalty. I have no label and no legal bindings. I think it's cool to be fused with a machine, and I like the idea of open sourcing all art and killing copyright. She went on then to say she was interested in being a guinea pig, and she thought it was cool to... Yeah, sorry, I said that bit. She said she was interested in being a guinea pig. Then she went on to say... I have it here. So when further pressed about these kind of things, when asked if she would do what she would do if people use her voice to create racist or violent content, she wrote that she may do copyright takedowns only for really, really toxic lyrics or songs that were anti-abortion or something like that.
Okay, so we're going to get rid of copyright except when we need copyright to protect artists. Like,
that's what she said.
Which is it?
Like, but like,
come on, you can't just say, oh, well, let's keep copyright for racist stuff or sexist stuff or whatever. Like, that doesn't work at all.
This is like the Creative Commons stuff. It's like, you can do certain things when, the way you want it, but if I don't like it, I don't know. But that's actually
exactly.
I don't want to be responsible for a Nazi anthem, she said, unless it's somehow ingest a la producers, I guess. I think AI is great. Creatively, I think AI can replace humans. And so I think at some point we will want to, as a species, have a discussion about how involved AI will be in art. And I know that Grimes is very much wanting to basically turn herself into a kind of a virtual artist in loads of ways.
Thing.
So,
yeah. I'm more than open to hearing... things like that, like collaborations between artists and AI or AI produced music and songs and things like that. But my faith in the idea that the industry at large and the way that we currently economically organize around musicians, my faith that humans could still create and produce and perform in front of audiences in the same way, with all the overheads that come with working with humans, is very, very low, because this is like AI generated music is so cost effective that you would be foolish as a label or whoever else you are not to use it. And so it's that line. I think currently I'm all for it. I'm like, go do it if it's fun. And if it creates something that moves people, great. But will humans still have the same opportunities as they currently do to create and perform art? Like, my hunch would be no, because you have to pay humans, and humans lose their voices and have to pull out of tours. And, you know, they're like fallible animals who need sleep and food, do you know?
I mean, I think it's interesting at the moment because, like, a lot of the stuff we talked about here is, you know, generative stuff where what about the more troubling aspects of AI is the kind of stuff that has been happening and been reported by journalists, especially, who are trying to find the edges of what AI is capable of and the problematic things that AI is capable of. So talking to ChatGPT and it telling you that it loves you and you should leave your wife for it and all this kind of stuff. Those things that some people have reported. I want to give you another cautionary tale about that. Do you know you know what the CAPTCHA is, right? CAPTCHA.
Yes, I struggle with them daily.
I didn't really know. Do you know what it stands for?
Oh my God. I do know. I think I once did, but I don't know.
Well,
go ahead.
It stands for a completely automated public Turing test to tell computers and humans apart. So not quite succinct, but there you go. That's what it means. One of the founders, one of the people responsible for the CAPTCHA is a guy called Louis Van Aan. And he is the co-founder of Duolingo. So Duolingo, he went on to do that back in the 90s. I think he was responsible for the CAPTCHA, gave it to Yahoo. Suddenly everyone was using it. It was open source software.
Wow, he's just like a well of good ideas, this guy.
He is.
Invest in whatever he's working on. Yeah. CAPTCHA and Duolingo.
Yeah, and there's something else in the middle. So this was a New Yorker profile of him that I read from last week. So he's been doing that, and he's now been looking at bringing GPT-4 into Duolingo. He's doing that already. The company is doing that. An example is to use real-life language scenarios so people can practice on their phone. Say it drops you into a coffee shop in France and you have a discussion with a chatbot in the chosen language that you're learning. But I think the interesting thing there is when people and the AI is allowed access to certain things that maybe it shouldn't be accessed. If you are talking to somebody or a robot, a Duolingo chatbot who, you know, and you start saying problematic things to it, it has to stop you or ignore it. Or that is the answer to those questions where, you know, the chatbot is suddenly telling you you should do something problematic. But here's another example. So OpenAI released GPT-4. And before it did, it commissioned an independent group to study the model's limitations and risky emergent behaviors. And one of the tasks the group assigned to the model was defeating CAPTCHA, right? And GPT-4, this is how it got around it. It used the gig work app TaskRabbit to hire a human being to complete the CAPTCHA form. So then when the TaskRabbit was asked, the person who asked facetiously in a text message whether his employee was a robot, the model lied, "No, I'm not a robot. I have a vision impairment that makes it hard for me to see the images. That's why I need the CAPTCHA service." So this is the kind of stuff that you would not think if you allow something unfettered access to the world. Because people are creating apps and stuff with GPT-4 at the moment. They're using
it. It's hiring us.
Yeah, yeah. It's hired a human. So that is a bit of a cautionary tale.
Fucking incredible. But like right, putting aside the moral stuff for a second, which I know I've been on one, like imagine being the people who designed ChatGPT and knowing that it learned how to do that and being in the room and being like, okay, this is obviously A, awesome, but B, we are fucked. Like, there's because
have you
someone
seen the film Megan?
With the robot, I've seen Ex Machina.
There's loads of examples. We've seen them all. Films and TV have been telling us for years and years and years to be careful of artificial intelligence. Even Will Smith has been telling us that in iRobot.
But it's also like concerning to think about, like. And I know we're moving away from music here and into more like the chatbot stuff, but like the conversation about the fact that like Siri and Alexa and all of these things are female has been going around for a while. And there's been studies done about how people treat their digital assistants based on whether or not they are male or female. And there's like an awful lot of like horrendous stuff that is just said to these like digital assistants or these like more realistic robots that are kind of coming out of Silicon Valley. And I think John Ronson had an audio documentary. If I can find it, we can put it in the show notes. All of that kind of calls into question, like who is designing these things? Who is deciding what is like with the Duolingo thing? If they have to shut down like a misogynistic or racist question or statement, like who is deciding what misogyny is? Who is deciding what racism is? Who's deciding what offensive language is? And the people that are deciding are Silicon Valley tech workers, right? Or tech designers and entrepreneurs and things. And we all like picture a Silicon Valley tech we're a designer, we're all picturing the same person in our head. It's like a white guy in his like mid-30s to mid-40s. And they're going to have completely different ideas and expectations around what is and isn't offensive language. And if you picture the same thing happening in record companies and in studios, and like these decisions are still being made by people. We shouldn't conflate people being involved with, you know, regulating this like new frontier with all of us being involved with it, because we're not. It's a very, very select small amount of people who are going to be involved in actually regulating AI, whether it's in music or chat or whatever it is. I was reading a paper about I'd pronounce it AIVA, A-I-V-A, which is it was set up in 2016. It's an AI capable of composing emotional soundtracks for films, video games, commercials, and any type of entertainment content. And something that I found really interesting reading the paper about it, it said the source of its information is a rich history of about 30,000 scores of musical composition written by composers such as Beethoven, Mozart, Bach, etc. Learning from the significant contributors to musical history helped AIVA capture the concepts of music theory and understand the art of music composition. Now, they named three composers there. They're all white Western men. I was like, oh, red flag. I understand the desire to have something like this. Like that paper goes on to say that one of the benefits of this is for video game scoring, where you might have like, I don't know, like 100, 200 hours of gameplay, and you can only pay a human to score like, you know, 4 or 5 hours of it, because it's very expensive to like hire an orchestra and so on, and also pay a composer. So I'm like, yeah, I can understand like the desire to automate that to a certain extent. But if you're only feeding it what we currently understand as like the canon, and if that canon is only like white men, then the future of that is just going to be more of the same conversations. And then we then get into a situation where having a conversation about it doesn't help. Like at least now, currently, when we're calling out, like when we're talking about dismantling the canon, or we're talking about like women in popular music or women in classical music or whatever it is, at least we're humans like talking to one another about it. But like once you start to automate that kind of stuff, like it completely just runs away with itself. And there's nothing publishing a paper or writing a column or having a conversation on a podcast can do about it. It's just, it's a runaway freight train. Is that the phrase?
But it can be a runaway train if you like.
Struck me as like, I was like, well, there's the example of like who decides what 30,000 scores to choose? Who decides that Beethoven, Mozart, and Bach are the significant contributors to music, you know?
But does that also apply to AI data sets then? Because, you know, if you're taking in publicly available work from others, and the majority of it comes from say the Western world, then a lot of it is going to be biased towards generating that kind of stuff. Is that the case, or is there fail safes in the AI models in which to generate those, so they allow for that? We've seen that recently with the algorithmic stuff around Spotify. Liz Pelly did a piece about this a couple of years ago, about it's the algorithm's learned reliance or on one particular sound, or its internal biases of the editors or anyone who's putting together a playlist, prioritizing white men, for example, Western white men, prioritizing certain sounds and certain music over others. And therefore the algorithm learns, oh, this is what should be prioritized. So that is one of the things that has to be answered on a societal level if we are using this kind of generative stuff or algorithmic stuff in general. It is something, it is a bigger question that I'm sure somebody out there in some college is writing a paper on right now.
Oh, like, man, if I was applying now for the scholarship that I got last year to start my PhD, I would have scrapped everything and gone all in on this, like, because it's fascinating. And I can't wait to, like, there's already like tons and tons and tons of, like, this paper that I was reading was talking about something that was happening in 2016, you know. But like, it's huge at the minute. Papers have been published all the time, and that's not to mention the on the actual tech side of things. Like, when I first went into like the database to have a look at papers, I was like, oh no, I've accidentally walked into the wrong classroom and now I'm in a computer science lab and I don't know where the on button is for the computer. I was like, okay, no, that's all happening over there, that's fine, but like, I want to know, what does it mean, you know, like, what does it mean for young artists? What does it mean for women? What does it mean for Black artists? Like, these kinds of things rarely favor already underrepresented people. And when you're talking about collating data sets in order to create new music, like, if you already have significant like portions of people who are already underrepresented, yeah, then it will be a worrying cyclical kind of continuation of that trend, and the last thing we need, like, is that, I think. But like, but also, I guess on the other side of things, like, all music is that, though, isn't it? Like, in the same way that an AI studies music and generates something or composes something based on everything it's learned, like, that's what a human does as well. Like, humans go to school and they learn about Bach and they learn about Mozart or they learn about the Beatles or whatever it might be. And then based on all of that, they create music. So it's,
hey,
like,
listen, have you seen Tar? There's a whole scene about this.
I haven't.
Watch Tar.
I know.
My God,
I know.
It's so good.
It's one of those things where everyone keeps telling me to watch it, so I'm like protesting
that. What you're literally talking about there, there is a big scene around that idea.
Okay, right.
You need to watch it.
I will. Yeah. But like, I guess my question is like, if we do end up rejecting AI-generated music as art, will the reason for us doing that be because we fundamentally believe that only humans can create art? And I don't know the answer to that question. I don't think any of us do. You can think of, like, even what music is isn't even technically, you know, defined by humanity's influence in it. Like, you could think about
next
birds,
week on
song,
the
or what,
podcast,
you know, whatever it is.
What even is music?
I once did like a talk on all of the, I think I chose like 10 different definitions, academic definitions of what music is, and how so many of them contradict one another, and a lot of them that people go by have absolutely no requirement for humans to be involved in it at all. So, I mean, I'd be interested to hear from those people on the idea of AI, but like, yeah, it's do you know? It's like mind blowing stuff. I'm thinking about
that's why
it
I wanted
day.
To talk about it this week. That's why I felt like we needed to just address it, give ourselves a grounding in what's happening, because we don't know what's coming down the line the next few weeks. And I think it's easier to ignore. It was easier to ignore the NFT stuff than it is to ignore this, because it's now becoming part of the cultural conversations by people doing this kind of stuff. But I think the wider issues is, yeah, what we're discussing there. And I think that's interesting to talk about. I'm interested to see what kind of answers people come up with, if there is answers that come up in terms of what happens. And
what's your gut telling you, Niall? How do you, like, what's your feeling? How is it sitting with you?
I kind of feel like it'll be there is parts of this that will just disappear. It'll be ephemeral art.
I think the memes will disappear pretty quickly.
Yeah. Maybe something will be created that people will go, oh, that's something special. And there will be maybe a flashpoint, like with sampling, where people suddenly go, hold on a second, something has happened here that's different to other things. That isn't just somebody like the AI stuff trying to create and drum up a bit of marketing for them for their own band or whatever else happens. Copyright issues separate to all of that. I think you're going to hear a lot more about that stuff in the next few months for sure. But I mean, that's not inherently interesting. It kind of takes us back 10 years in terms of the time where people were, where labels had to spend more time playing whack-a-mole with things that appeared online. And apparently there's like Discord communities of people who are creating AI albums for one artist and all this kind of stuff. So it's just going to get worse in terms of in terms of the volume. Maybe it takes one big artist, one well-known artist to utilize it in a manner that makes sense, that captures the imagination for something to last and it's for it to really hit. Otherwise, it just remains internet ephemera for now. But it is interesting.
I agree.
It does pose questions about the viability of artistry, creativity, what it is for someone to sound, to be well known for their voice, if somebody can just take their voice and create something like it. Do you need that person anymore? Can you? Then the wider things, like when someone dies, is someone going to continue making that music for somebody else using that voice?
Which isn't new. Like we've had.
No, it's not. It's not. I mean,
we had like a number one remix of Elvis Presley singing "Little Less Conversation." Like this idea. Like this is why I kind of keep coming back to the idea of sampling, because I can totally understand why people were completely panicked about sampling, but we've found a kind of an equilibrium with it. And I agree with you. I suspect that that this will calm down in a way where the actual nuts and bolts of it will probably be too boring for people who aren't super into music or super into copyright law and things like that, which I think you and I are like skirting on the, like we are quite interested in copyright laws studied law. But like for people who aren't interested in that, it'll settle down and it will become something that is kind of interesting and novel when it's being used in different ways. And yeah, there might be an artist who, like David Byrne, could release like the greatest album of his career and we could find out that it was, you know, done collaboratively with AI or whatever it is, and then there'll be kind of an acceptance or whatever. But right now it's just in this kind of like crazy spinning mess where it's lawless. It's like complete lawlessness. Like no one knows even if people are, it's like we haven't written the rules that people are breaking. So it's like, to use another train metaphor, like, you know, laying the tracks while the train is coming. It's like, we need to write some laws to protect people against this because we didn't think this was going to happen. And
yeah,
and that's difficult. And so it's like, it's incredibly interesting that it's happening. Like it's something that we're definitely, it's a more philosophical conversation than I think we're used to having in our culture kind of at large, from people who just listen to music as kind of background noise while they're studying or working, or actual musicians and musicologists and scholars and things like that. Like it affects everybody because music affects everybody. So yeah, it's very interesting.
It is indeed. So I think that's like plenty to get your teeth into if you're interested in alien music. So thank you.
I would love to hear people's thoughts on it if they do want to. What's our email?
podcast@nylernine.com.
Yeah, if anyone does have thoughts, like if you're a musician or just a music fan or whatever, do email us, because this is something that I'm like very interested to hear what other people have to say about it. And in the Discord, as Paul mentioned earlier.
Yeah, that's it. patreon.com/909. That is the place to go.
That's it for the Niler 9 podcast. I've been Drake, and I love all the Niler 9 listeners. Beep.
Yeah, that was Drake there just saying goodbye. And we will now say goodbye. Thank you, everybody.
Goodbye, everyone. Talk to you soon. See you next week.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kyler Tsinis.
Kyler Tsinis. I'm Kyler Tsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.